Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. So glad you tuned in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm so excited about today's show. What a lineup. Randy Elkhorn, Ray Comfort. If you've missed first hour and you're just tuning in, you're going to have to catch the podcast. You can do that on our website, myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to spend this next hour looking at the differences between men and women. Have you ever wondered about these male-female differences, like she reads people and he reads manuals? He doesn't ask for directions and she doesn't appreciate his advice. She's so mysterious, and he's so practical. Well, we're going to look at how God has wired us and how our brain science impacts the way we look at our world and even the way we show up in our relationships. So honored today to have Dr. Walt Larimore and his wife Barb join me. And the title of their book is His Brain, Her Brain, How Divinely Designed Differences Can Strengthen Your Marriage. Let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get this conversation started. Dr. Walt Larimore has been a practicing family physician and nationally recognized educator for over 30 years, and he and his wife Barb have been married for over 38 years and were named Outstanding Educators of the Year by the Christian Medical Association. You can find their author page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Barb and Walt, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's good to be with you.
I know I interviewed Walt, and I'm not sure if that was on our Focus Everyday show or not, but this is way overdue to have both of you, so I'm just grateful for today.
Well, it's a real honor, but our bio is updated. We've actually been happily married 22 years.
Walt, that's not true. Don't mislead people.
Married 40 years.
Oh.
We met when we were 5 years old, and I don't have a memory in life without Barb.
Oh, that is beautiful and hilariously funny and endearing all at the same time. Okay, so we love to start out our conversation talking scripture, and there's two verses you chose, and so I'll read them, and Barb, start with you, and then go to you, Walt. Just love to hear your thoughts on these passages. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Barb, talk to us about those verses.
Well, really, the most important thing to say is that it all started with God. This whole deal about males and females and what we come packaged looking like and those things that go on in our brain, it all started out with God, not as a bad thing. And like he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. So we have the two counterparts, male and female, coexisting in God's perfect environment, which is called marriage. And it all started with him. It was his idea.
Yeah, this isn't something man dreamed up. It's something God dreamed up. I love that. Well, what about you?
Well, the Hebrew is just so rich, and I'm no theologian or seminary graduate, but there were a number of pastors and professors and experts that helped us dissecting the scripture with this book. And in the Hebrew scriptures of Genesis, it clearly indicates that God made male and female different and differently. In other words, he actually made us differently, used a different process in making us. And the Hebrew words describe a man who is created to protect. In fact, it's the same word that's used to describe a potter creating a clay vase, something that's designed to protect and hold something very, very valuable. And the Hebrew word used to describe the way the female was made describes, elsewhere in Scripture, it's used, that same word is used to describe something that's very complex, very precious, extremely valuable. And he puts these two together so that they can function together in ways they could never function alone. The Hebrew says it's bad. In fact, it's the first place in Scripture that it says bad, because throughout creation, remember that, Susie?
Yeah.
Every step of creation, God said, it is good, 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 it is very good. And then man alone, not with his created counterpart, not with his mate, not with his soulmate, not with his wife, that's bad. And so what we wanted in this book to do was to describe those ancient scriptures and then compare them to the most modern science. And Susie, they absolutely are complementary, but even more so, this isn't a book about a bunch of hardcore science. Barb would never let me do that. It's a practical book of how you can make your marriage better, that it be salt and light to everyone around you.
You know, it's amazing when you think about it. We are like a bunch of rebellious adolescents when we shake our fist at God and say, I don't want these differences between us. I want there to be, you know, even ground. And we misinterpret his heart. And just as an adolescent or teenager shakes their fist at their parents saying, you don't get me, you're trying to be my fun killer. And then they rebel, and then they come back around and going, you know, you wanted to protect me and bless me the whole time. I feel like, you know, it's so much that way where the culture has gone with our perception of God and what we interpret his differences to mean. And I love, Barb, how you said in the book that one of the reasons you wanted to do this book is so that we could learn that we could indeed turn our myriad of differences into sources of oneness and strength. And we're going to dig into some of these differences. We're going to have a great time. But I want you just to make the case, because some differences are just obvious for us men and women, even if we don't want to admit it. But you're saying that God can even help us turn these into a source of oneness and strength in the context of relationship.
Right. And these differences aren't something that we just imagine that the other person is doing to us or, you know, out to get us, or it's not a volitional choice that we make to annoy each other in that marriage. And it's certainly, the differences aren't due to personality quirks, but it's because God wired us in the womb to be distinctive, and for our brains to function in the ways that he wants them to function anatomically, chemically, hormonally, psychologically. These are all differences that impact our emotions, our thinking, our behavior, and then you wed that together in the marriage, and it's God has given us a manual of life, the Bible, where we can get some clues, but we know that it all begins with him. And yes, it does have to do with our hormones and the structure of the male and the female brain and our genetics and our personalities, but he made us that way, and understanding these differences will result in a stronger marriage, not only a marriage relationship, but relationships with the opposite sex.
You know, when my oldest son was dating his first girl, and they had their first conflict, and he said, Mom, you know, why did God make girls and guys so differently? And the first thing that came to my mind is, because it will take love for it to work. I mean, but I know you're a doctor, Walt, and I would love for you to just unpack, why did God wire men and women with such different brains and thought patterns?
Well, when we look back at the Hebrew scriptures, and it describes that God brings Eve to Adam to look at, and those famous words, you know, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and they're facing each other, and they're so excited about what they see for the first time, and yet that picture of facing each other, she is able to see things behind him he cannot, and he is able to see things behind her that she cannot, but the two together can see differently than either one apart, and all of the hundreds of differences that we describe in this book paint that picture, and some of them can be marriage savers. In fact, we say that these divinely designed differences that draw us together initially can divide us and lead to distraction and disruption and disintegration of marriage if they're not understood. And, well, I'll just give you one example. The brain science shows that the average woman, not even an exceptional woman, but the average woman can hear and process and understand and deal with seven different sound sources at the same exact time. Now, the average guy, not an exceptional guy, just the average guy, he can deal with, well, Susie, how many sounds do you think he can deal with?
I'm afraid to say. I'll let you answer.
It's just one. And so for Barb to be able to understand that when I'm listening to one thing and not her, but she doesn't, you know, before we understood this, we didn't realize that, and she would think, oh my goodness, he's ignoring me. On my side of the brain, I have to understand that when she's talking to me, if I want to honor her and I want to show my love for her, I've got to turn off the TV, or I've got to turn off the radio, or I have to turn off the stereo. We were driving to the airport, oh, sometime in the past, and we were listening to a CD, Sarah Groves. We love the music of Sarah Groves. So we're listening to Sarah Groves, and then Barb says, Walt, I want to tell you something. And I reached over and I turned off the stereo. And she said,
You really don't have to do that. But he did. And it was his way of honoring me, because he knows that I can listen with both sides of my brain, and he can only use one side of his brain to listen.
And that was his effort.
And that was that was his effort. That's right. I can hear as many as 7 auditory inputs at a time, but he can barely follow one direction, you know, or hear one source of input at a time. And so it's just understanding subtle differences like that, that, you know, you figure out in the long run that these can be annoying if you don't understand what's behind it.
Or you can take them absolutely personal, where it really
isn't personal.
And don't you think how we way too often assign motives where they're not due?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm so happy to be talking to Dr. Walt Larimore and Barb Larimore. The title of their book is His Brain, Her Brain, How Divinely Designed Differences Can Strengthen Your Marriage. We're going to have some fun on the other side and just talk about some of those very distinct differences between guys and gals. Maybe you know some. Maybe some will be a surprise to you. Don't go away. More with Walt and Barb in just a moment.
I think the main difference between men and women is our character traits. I think women tend to be more nurturing and compassionate and gentle.
The central difference between men and women? Oh, man. Anything that comes to mind will get me in trouble.
God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Walt Larimore and Barb Larimore. Their book, His Brain, Her Brain, How Divinely Designed Differences Can Strengthen Your Marriage. Everything cries holy. We are made in his image. Isn't that a great thought? So we're going to have a little bit of fun here and talk about some of the differences. And here's a quote from your book. While male brains contain about 6.5 times more gray matter, which is the thinking matter, female brains have more than 9.5 times as much white matter, the processing matter. So I'll start with you, Barb. Explain in layman's terms what that means to us.
Well, in layman's terms, it means that she processes things, what she hears and what she sees, faster than he can. And that's the basic bottom line. And so because he is so slow in processing, he may not be able to verbalize what he has just heard or seen or what he is feeling. And so that can be a source of frustration to the female because, you know, Shazam, she's already got it figured out. But he, on the other hand, takes time and quiet and space in order to process.
And so once again, you can see how we could take that personally because he paused, he had to think, he didn't maybe say the right words at the right time because we want a quick answer, so he's trying to give one while he's still trying to process, and we sort of set him up to fail, don't we?
Exactly. And when you don't understand that, oh my goodness, it can get blown out of proportion. But
so how
she is just so much faster, usually. Now, you know, we're talking about men and women, but generalized. Walt, you say this so much better. Go ahead.
Well, the differences we're talking about, Susie, they're not 100% for every male and every female. So there may be couples listening to the program today, and he'll say, well, that's really much more common with her than it is with me. But our point is that opposites attract. And so no matter which side you fall on, generally you're attracted to and end up marrying someone who's very different than you. And those differences that can drive you crazy and drive you apart, we want to show people how they're actually designed to make you stronger as a couple. I'll give you an example from our marriage in that processing issue, guys processing different than guys and gals processing a little quicker. It's also important to add to that the fact that women cannot, in general, process deeply emotional issues or stressful issues or bad news without talking about them. Their processing centers deep in their brain are very strongly tied to their verbal centers. It's one of the reasons we see women much more likely to use counseling services and psychiatric services than men. So knowing all that, women process more quickly than men. They process verbally. Men tend to process alone. So we work with a ministry here in Colorado Springs that had a tragic accident. A bunch of volunteers were in a van. The van got in a terrible accident, flipped over. Four or five of the volunteers were killed. Others were tragically injured. As soon as we heard that, that had a deep impact on both of us. I needed to go to the basement. I needed to go where I write and think, have my Bible time and my quiet time and my prayer time. I just needed some solitude to process that, to deal about it and pray about it. Barb, on the other hand, goes to Penny's, her best friend, where she's able to process it. We both instantly understood what was going on. We honored what was going on. But Susie, if it had been 10 years ago, I might have wondered, why is Barb not talking to me? Why is she? Does she love Penny more than me? You know.
And Barb, I might have wondered, why is he going to the basement to be alone? You know, I need him at this highly emotional moment for me. And why is he abandoning me?
Yeah, you can sure see that. And I appreciate even how you say these are general statements and there's not, you know, across the board application. I appreciated the two diagrams that you offer in your book on the brain that are insightful and hilarious to me. And so I would love to walk through them. Like one, the big part of the male's brain is this huge sex hemisphere, where the woman in that same big area is family and friends hemisphere. So just make that distinction right there, because right there you can see where it would be a source of great conflict if we don't understand that.
Well, you know, once again, talking for a woman is like life for her. It's like the air and the water that we must have. She needs to talk. Sex, on the other hand, is like air that we breathe and water that we drink for the male. And let me tell you, I wish I had realized that before we had been married 37, 38 years, because it would have made a whole lot of difference in our early marriage in the choices that I made in the intimacy category.
Well, give some examples, Barb, of what you mean. And had you known this, what would you have done differently?
Oh, my goodness. I probably would have said yes more. I would have, you know, really paid attention to the clues, that the things that he needed for me to express intimacy to him. Not just merely talking, but the touching and the feeling and the you know, taking the time to be intimate, not worrying so much about the meals or cleaning the house or the so many details to the children. All of those things just eat up our time. But I really would have concentrated more on Walt.
You know, Barb, as you're talking, I'm thinking, and we all have done this in my early years, I could echo those same words. We get lost in the tyranny of the urgent as young moms. We're tired, but we're managing a lot. But you think about the laundry was urgent. The intimacy was important. And boy, if any young moms are listening, hear those words, because you will not regret it. And how about you, Walt? Speak to that issue of just those two hemispheres.
Well, the exact opposite was true for me as we were writing this book. For me to realize that conversation for Barb was as critical and life-giving as sexual intimacy was for me. And so Barb's feelings about sexual intimacy and actions changed. We wrote two chapters about God's view of sexuality and how couples can bridge gaps in that area. But I also wrote two chapters on communication because, guys, face it, we're just not wired that way. We're not wired for long conversations. We're wired to fix things and to make them better. And for me to learn, Susie, that there are times when Barb's talking to me, that she wants a decision, that she wants us to talk about deciding this or that or the other, but there are other times she just wants me to listen. That verbal processing helps her fix what she needs. And Susie, that's not only helped me with Barb to learn the difference, it's helped me with my patients to understand that sometimes just listening is and praying with the patient is all the therapy that I need. But Barb now has taken the responsibility of when she says, you know, she gives me an appointment. She says, hey, in about 10 minutes, can you come up and we'll have a cup of coffee so that I can get out of my writing box, you know, and mm-hmm. get into my conversation box. And she'll say, I want to talk to you for 5 or 10 minutes. She'll actually give me a time limit, so I know it's not going to go for the next 16 hours or 3.5 days.
And then she'll How good say, of you, Barb.
Yeah.
I just need you to listen. And it's like Moses saying to men, let my people go. I don't have to fix it. I can just listen. And so we share tip after tip after tip after tip. And our prayer is that couples will actually read this book together. Oh, a few paragraphs at a time. Talk about the differences. Laugh about your mistakes as we've done and as we illustrate in the book. And then build that stronger marriage that can be salt and light to your family and to your friends and to your coworkers, your community, and your neighborhood.
Wow. Well, I'm going to talk about a couple more of these brain hemisphere issues. One you had for men, there was a sports center. And women, there was a shopping center. For women, the small little particle for action movies, and men, a tiny little particle for listening. And I had to laugh because I'm not a shopper, and I would take an action movie over shopping any day. And I just am that way. But just talk a little bit about that, because that's where, you know, you might see we're different that way. But, you know, that there's a real release for guys be watching football. Again, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I love football. I love action movies. I'm different that way. But there's a place and room for us each to be how God made us.
Absolutely. And, you know, shopping is a stress reliever for me. I can look and not buy, but let me tell you, if I have a coupon in my hand and I'm on a mission, I can get that done. Not as quickly as Walt could get it done because, you know, the aim for him would be to go out and bag whatever he's looking for, and he's accomplished that goal. But for me, I take great pleasure in looking at the displays and the lighting and how things are laid out and on the tables and the colors and the textures. And, you know, I'm taking in, it's a social event for me just to, you know, walk into the mall or walk into an outdoor living center. And, you know, I take all that in, and he can only take a little of that. Whereas, Susie, you know, you might be the one who can only take so much of that.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I must be a tomboy at heart.
Well,
talking to
what's
Barb,
wrong with that?
Yeah. Talking to Walt and Barb more about men and women's differences when we come back.
There were two scientists at the University of Pennsylvania, male, female, study team researchers. They were neuropsychologists, and they got into this exact same argument. And they decided to test it using these technologies that can help dissect how we're thinking. They're called functional MRI or functional PET scans or functional CT scans, and allows us to see how the brain is actually working, not just the structure of it. And so what they did, they started out in the morning. And the female part of the experiment. He had a bunch of young college women who volunteered. They gave them an injection in a vein that's absorbed into the brain. They put them into the scanner, and he would tell them, I want you to think about nothing. Just just think about nothing. And they would turn on the scanner, and it would be bam, 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 like fireworks, you know. All parts of the brain were firing and thinking, and there was not a single woman who could think about nothing. That afternoon, the wife came in, and she had a bunch of male volunteers. So she did the injection with the first male. She put him in the scanner, and she said, I want you to think about nothing. And she walked into the monitor, and she looked at it. Nothing was happening. She told the technician, she said, turn on the monitor so I can see what's going on. And the technician said, it is on. And he
nothing is nothing.
About nothing. Now, we explain in the book that we believe that's the where the man is, in the part of the brain where the Holy Spirit and God's Word can speak to him. It's his deepest thinking point, but it's doing nothing. And so it used to be that when Barb would say, what are you thinking about? And I would say nothing, that was deeply hurtful to her. Now that we understand it, we can laugh about it. But Susie, the opposite occurs, where I'll say, hey, honey, what are you thinking about? And she'll say nothing, and I'll go, you lying dog.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she is lying.
Well, women's brains are so highly connected and networked, but his brain has that ability to compartmentalize itself off from anything else. And so he can get in that nothing box, and when he's thinking about leaving in 5 minutes, that's all he's thinking about. I'm going to leave in 5 minutes. Meanwhile, because of her brain and the way that it never turns off, 24/7 it's on, she's thinking about the cat, the children, the dishwasher, the washing machine, the laundry on the floor, the yard, you know, going to the grocery store. What do I have everything I need in my purse? She is thinking about all these things, and that's so that's probably why she's a little delayed in getting out of the house.
Wow.
In 5 minutes.
That's so good. That is actually, I never even put those two together. But you know what else I never put together, I just love about God, is that he would give you a nothing box. Because when you think about, when you talked about men focusing on one thing at a time, giving you time and space so that he can download and he can speak to you at some of those nothing times. I mean, I think that's really powerful when you think about it.
No, the applications we think are just life-changing and marriage-building. And our hope and prayer is not only that couples will read it together, but they'll invite other couples over, maybe do a chapter a week as far as a home study, to laugh and love and learn together, and then get back together the next week and say, boy, this is how this played out in our marriage, you know, this particular week. And that idea of building community using God's Word, the science doesn't trump God's Word. It simply illustrates the truth of God's Word again and again and again. And so all of these opposites, we have a chapter on why his brain is designed for conquest and hers is designed for nurture, and how that can divide a marriage if it's not understood. His brain is designed to provide for her and for his family. Her brain is designed for security and for a two-wage earner home. Problems can occur, especially if she's making more than him. And so we deal with those differences and how you can deal with them. The old love and respect dichotomy, his brain is designed to receive and respond to respect, which is why Scripture commands her to respect him. And her brain is designed to respond to love and affection. So we go through not only the whys, as far as how science backs up Scripture, but then the how-tos. How can you begin to apply this? Like when I'm in that little writing box, and I'm just down writing in the basement, Barb could not make a bigger mistake than to come downstairs and say, dinner's ready, come up now. It just takes guys time to transition from one box to the other. And so she's developed some wonderful ways to get me from one box to the other.
I want to hear some of those ways, Barb.
Well, it's almost, in a sense, the way that you might speak to a child. And anyway, I just had to perfect the technique over the years. But after I learned this fact that he really can't transition from one box to another very quickly, I started giving him calling out times. Dinner will be ready in 30 minutes. And then another 15 minutes, dinner will be ready in 15 minutes. And then, you know, the old five-minute intervals, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And by the time he has finished doing what he was doing and transitioned in thinking from whatever he was working on to Barb, who was now going to be the focus because she has fixed dinner and eating will be a focus, he is able to come up, leaving everything else behind, come up from the basement to the dinner table, and we can have a nice dinner together with nothing else on his mind other than, you know, just a few of the things we're going to talk about at dinner.
But it would be a huge mistake to have the TV on.
Oh, absolutely. I never talk to him when he's holding the remote.
That's spoken from a true seasoned wife, let me just tell you. You know, what I appreciate so much is your fun, bantering way, and even more your mutual respect for each other. Now, just kind of stepping back and looking at where our culture has gone, because we've really made each other the enemy. The woman has been so diminished through porn, which is translated into trafficking of girls and women. And then you look at men in media and they're treated like, you know, bumbling idiots. And so this disrespect on both sides is so horrible, and it's created this vicious cycle. When you step back and look at God's design and even how you two are modeling it, it's to be able to embrace your differences, to laugh about them, but to mutually honor and respect each other. And I would love, if you wouldn't mind each, just sharing a little bit about your early years of marriage, the differences you've noticed, and what you see, how you perceive those now. Barb, I'll start with you.
Oh, gosh. In writing this book, there were the two aha moments, two big aha moments for me, and one was in the intimacy category that we've kind of unpacked a little bit, just knowing how important sexual intimacy is for him. And had I known some of the things that I know now, I would have said no. I would have said yes a lot more often. And, you know, everything else would have taken a lower priority. I wish I had understood the concept of servant lover as Linda Dillo and Lorraine Penta so beautifully express in a couple of books that they've written together. And, you know, basically it's putting someone else's needs above your own. It's not being selfish in the marriage relationship. The other thing that I wish I had known in our marriage is in the communication category, and it has to do with what we just talked about giving time and space and quiet to him, for him to process, and for me to realize, you know, the world is not all about me in the marriage relationship, and it's a marriage between a God-created man and a God-created woman, is that when he is quiet, it doesn't mean that something is wrong with our relationship. It just means that I need to back off, and he needs that time to get from point A to point B and be able to express to me what is going on in his timing as God lays it on his heart. But it doesn't mean that I automatically assume the worst, that something is wrong in our relationship. And see, that's where the culture is so counter to the Christian message, because it says it's all about me and it's all about getting it right now, or I want out. I can't deal with this anymore. And God says, no, I'm giving you these things to help you discover more about me, more about yourself, and to be humble and to serve the other.
That's just
in this marriage relationship.
So beautiful. And that is possible when we walk intimately with God so that we can better love our spouses. When we come back, I want to hear Walt's side of just looking back at those early years of marriages, knowing what he knows now, and just some takeaways for us. Talking to Walt and Barb Larimore. We'll be back in a moment.
What a beautiful day when he washed our sins away. What a beautiful day. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. By grace you faith.
I feel like women tend to be more concerned with how they're relating with one another, and men tend to be more concerned with how to progress the community as a whole.
Very insightful. Talking to Walt Larimore and Barb Larimore, they co-authored a book, His Brain, Her Brain, How Divinely Designed Differences Can Strengthen Your Marriage. Before the break, Barb, I asked you to look back at your early years of marriage and knowing what you know now, some of your takeaways, and they were such great pieces of wisdom that just wishing you would have said yes more often to physical intimacy, really learning to not take things personally, giving him time to process. All those things kind of come out of a certain maturity and a seasonedness, I think, in our walk with God, where we start to let his love be the thing that completes us, and appreciate that so much. So, Walt, what about you? Looking back in those early years of marriage, knowing what you know now, what advice can you give to those listening today?
You know, there's one that stands out to me, Susie. You know, you read from Genesis early on that she is a helper. God made her as a helper suitable to him. And that Hebrew word that's translated helper, I mean, no matter how we try to cut or dice it, the word helper comes across as what? A servant or a subservient or a second-class citizen or, you know, something like that. But the Hebrew word is gorgeous. It's the Hebrew word ezer. And everywhere else in the Old Testament scripture where that word is used, it's only used by God to describe his own saving action. Ezer is translated savior. And in this particular instance in Genesis, God uses that word to describe his design of woman for man, that she is his savior, little s, and that Barb is designed to save me from a whole lot of goof-ups with what she can see I can't. So we write a chapter about female intuition, how study after study has shown that women's hearing is designed to hear the tone of voices that men can't hear. Many of our listeners or females may laugh when they think about telling their child or their husband or their boss, don't use that tone of voice with me. And he goes, what tone are you talking about? And she can read muscles movements and eye movements, and she can read emotions that he can't. We make the case that this is a divinely designed gift that God gives women. It's not infallible, but it's pretty good. I wish I had known that early on, and I'll give you one example. After we got out of our after I got out of my residency training and we got into to practice, and we were beginning for the first time to be paid for work, and we decided to honor God with our money. We set up a budget, and we learned to budget, and we decided to store for the future and to begin a retirement fund. And so we met with a financial counselor who was giving us different options for retirement funds, and he had one in particular that he was really fond of. And we knew, Susie, literally dozens of Christians in our community that had invested in this particular retirement instrument, and the results were fabulous. And so I'm ready to sign up. Barb says, well, I need a little bit of time. Let's talk about it and pray about it. And the counselor said, that's fine. So we're driving home. And I go through it real quickly and said, so what do you think? And Barb says,
I don't think it's a good idea.
Which I interpreted as meaning, well, she just doesn't understand this. So I went through another whole explanation, this time a little bit more
which
detailed.
Which I'm sure helped greatly.
Well, I thought it would, but after that, Barb said,
I don't think it's a good idea.
No problem. We were at home now. So we walked into our kitchen. We sat down, and I opened the back of the prospectus, which had all of the little pie drawings and charts, because I knew that that would help her understand. And we went through all of the pie charts, and Barb said,
do what you need to do, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Hmm. Susie, I didn't understand God's gift of intuition in women. And so we went ahead and made that investment. Well, actually, I went ahead and made that investment. And we don't really remember the exact details because it's so painful. But it was either 3, 4, 5 months later, it went upside down. And Susie, we lost 1 year's income
wow.
in one night. We
wow.
could have gone bankrupt, or we could have declared bankruptcy. We decided not to. But Barb, the saintly, wonderful, holy woman, she is, instead of gloating over that, instead of the "I told you so," we were in this together for the long run. But my lesson was, Barb can smell things I can't smell. She can hear things that I can't hear. She can pick up on things that I can't pick up on. God didn't give that to Barb and Walt Larimore to divide us. He gave it to us that we might be a stronger couple together in growing to know him and make him known to others. And so our prayers, this book will help couples know how God wants them together to know him and make him known to others through the first institution that he ever ordained, which was the institution of marriage and family.
Wow, that's a really, I really appreciate both you kind of looking back and then coming ahead with these nuggets of wisdom. And what a really important story. You know, remember, you've quoted Shanti Feldham. We've had her on the show a number of times. And that nugget of wisdom that she said, that men would rather feel unloved than inadequate or disrespected. And when you think about that, the power that we as women, the influence that we have to honor and love our spouses, but also the power you men have to accept our influence, because when we feel demeaned and diminished, we just get so shut down. We just have a handful of minutes left, but I'd love for both of you to speak about the power of influence that we each have. Barb, let's start with you.
Oh, my. You know, not only within our husbands' lives, but, you know, think about the family unit, whether you have biological children, adopted children, or no children. You know, we all have those spheres of influences, and God puts us where he puts us in our little sphere of influence, not so that we can operate as in a vacuum, but so that we can, keyword, influence others for him, to show others who might not know him just a little glimmer of what the God we serve is like, and what his character is all about, and what he values, and what he likes, and what he doesn't like, and what pleases him, and what doesn't please him. Our influence in the world, starting right where we are, is infinitesimal in trying to figure out, you know, how far that influence will go. God takes us where we are and uses us, and then he's the one that multiplies that influence.
Mm, so good.
For his kingdom.
For his kingdom, indeed. What about you, Walt?
You know, I think that learning that that God's design and instruction to me as a husband, to honor my wife, to love my wife, to nourish my wife, to cherish my wife, is one that not only does my spiritual growth depend upon that, but my relationship with God depends upon it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, he tells husbands that we're to live with our wives in an understanding way. And if we do not, Peter says, our prayers will be hindered. How many guys listening today have had hindered prayers and ever even considered the possibility, maybe because we're not treating our wives as God intended, we're not being the biblical husbands that God intended for us to be? So we dissect. We've got chapters on how do you honor your wife? How do you cherish and nourish your wife? And I think the summation for me is a wonderful poem. It's an old poem written by J. Allen Peterson, but it's one that we copy, and we put it in a box for every couple who we go to their wedding, or couples we know who are getting married. Even if we can't go to the wedding, Barb will go out and she'll go to Pier 1 or something, and she'll pick up a box, just an empty little box that she thinks the design matches that couple. And then we put this calligraphy little poem in there, and I won't do the whole poem, but just a part of it. Dr. Peterson writes, "Most people get married believing in a myth, that marriage is a beautiful box full of all of the things we have longed for, companionship, sexual fulfillment, intimacy, friendship, and that somehow the box mysteriously remains full of those goodies. We believe that the marriage license is the key to this box. We can take from it as much as we want, and it somehow mysteriously remains full. But the truth is that marriage at the start is an empty box. You must put something in before you can take anything out. If you do not put into the box more than you take out, it becomes empty. There's no love in marriage. Love is in people, and people put it into marriage. But after marriage, we start to empty the box, believing our spouse will fill it. But it won't happen, at least not for long. When the box gets empty, we become vulnerable for an affair or a divorce. So a couple must learn the art and form the habit of giving, loving, serving, praising, honoring, cherishing, nourishing, respecting, and loving to keep the box full. If you take out more than you put in, the box will get empty. Love is something you do, an activity directed towards your mate. It takes two to keep the box full. And our prayers, this book will be used exactly for that in marriages, to help her learn how to respect and admire and love him, and how have him learn how to nourish and cherish her. And then couples that can do that with their children and with their neighbors and with their colleagues and with their friends and with their community. And Susie, can you imagine a nation built upon marriages like that? Godly biblical marriage is made of imperfect people who goof up all of the time, but he takes those imperfect cracked pots and his light shines through them.
Well, Barb and Walt, I sure appreciated this time today, and I just want to thank you for the time and all the wisdom you shared with us, and we just wish you God's best and his blessings. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Blessings to you, Susie.
And to you. Title of the book again is His Brain, Her Brain. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Check out all of our blog posts there. We've got some great ones when you're there, myfaithradio.com. And if there's a show or a blog post that especially ministers to you, you can, by a click of a button, send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. I'll leave you with this thought. I say it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.